The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What is fantasy football without Tom Brady? Someday we might find out. Today is not the day. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Today, a bonus podcast. Tom Brady is back. At first, I was kind of, almost annoyed. Then I thought about it for 5 seconds, and this is great. Welcome back. Never leave. We love Tom Brady. Also, Amari Cooper is on the Browns. Michael Gallup, 5-year deal, $62.5 million with the Cowboys. And Zach Ertz, re-signed by the Arizona Cardinals. Zach Ertz was a top five tight end in full PPR. And a lot of catches, a lot of targets. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisberg, Dave Richard, and Chris Towers here for this bonus pod. And we're going to have Deshaun Watson news soon, too. It's going to be a fun week, so make sure you tune in. And make sure you join our bracket challenge. I'll have a link for you, by the way, in the episode description. But cbssports.com/FFTbrackets. Now, the people want to hear about Tom Brady, so we'll start with that. Dave, rank him.
I put him at 8. I put him ahead of Russell Wilson, behind Dak Prescott. That's obviously got room to change when we learn more about what the Cowboys do. But I'm assuming that Gronk's going to re-sign, that Godwin's going to heal up, that they find a third receiver, that the offensive line pretty much stays the same. They're running it back. And I think that Brady has proven, especially after last year, top 2 in fantasy points per game and 6-point passing touchdown leagues, top 4 in consistency. Don't see any reason in the world why he's going to start to slow down now. And the other thing that's happening here is that I feel like his return is kind of devaluing the quarterback position a little bit on draft day, because now there are so many quarterbacks. You could run through 12 quarterbacks and still not get to any of the breakout guys, still not get to Jalen Hurts, have enough for everybody in your league to have a starter. I think now more than ever, this is the time where you do not want to reach for a quarterback, because you will find one of the great ones hanging around later.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson, too, if he's back. And,
absolutely. Right,
It's going to be a very deep position. Okay, you have him 8th. Jamie, how about you?
He'll be 6th for me. You just know what he's capable of with this offense. I'm sure looking at, Godwin's return, I'm sure Gronk will be back. I'm sure that they will find something to fill that third spot to replace Antonio Brown, but they don't really need that. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the running back position, because that's obviously a big hole. Fournette is gone, based on the reports from Greg Allman, who is as plugged into this team as anybody. So, if Fournette does leave, that's a big spot to fill. But, this division stinks. Who knows what the Saints, who have tormented him, are going to look like, without their head coach there. But, Dennis Allen's still there. But in any event, Bruce Arians is tried and true. Brady's tried and true. It's as sure thing as you can possibly get for a guy who's going to be 105 and still producing at this level.
45, 105, whatever it is. Chris, okay, how about you? We got an 8. We got a 6. Where are you at on Tom Brady?
5. I've got him basically right at the top of the third tier after Allen and Mahomes in tier 1, Jackson and Herbert in tier 2. And then it's Brady, Rodgers, Murray, Stafford, all those guys in that range. So I think, you can put him at the top of the tier if you want to have Aaron Rodgers ahead of him or Dak Prescott or someone like that. I think that makes sense. But yeah, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy. They're going to throw a ton. There's no reason to think they won't. It's going to be one of the best offenses for fantasy again.
Yeah, 8, 6, maybe you can even say 5. People could say it's a little bit low for a guy who's just number 2. And I know that after, with basically the last 7 games of the 2020 season, except for week 17 when Mike Evans left, he was 3rd per game when they started playing with Antonio Brown. Although I think I didn't count this first game in that stretch where he was terrible. But he started playing at an elite level. Because remember the first half of his first season in Tampa Bay wasn't great. Second half, he was incredible. Then they had the Super Bowl
run.
Couldn't play at night. Yeah, he wasn't connecting deep.
It was rough.
But yeah, I guess my question would be, why not 3rd? How could you rank Aaron Rodgers ahead of him, let's say?
Yeah, that's the one I struggle with, honestly. And he may come out 5 for me as well, because I have Rodgers 5th right now. And so It's between Rodgers and Brady. The guys I have in front of him, I mean, it's easy to say Allen, Mahomes. And then the next two, you know, you can certainly debate it with Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson. But you have to be a little bit concerned, you know, if, you know, we were talking before the show started, when does Godwin come back if there is a little bit of a lull or delay in terms of his, you know, recovery? Who's going to be the third receiver? Is Gronk definitely back? Is there going to be a running back replacement that's going to, you know, help in the passing game as well? But, you know, he's as safe a bet as you can find in this offense. As Chris said, it's a great offense for fantasy. The weapons are, for the most part, back if Gronk returns. And so there's little reason to doubt him if the offensive line comes back in as much as it's capable of being back, you know, based on what their salary cap ramifications are.
I mean, there is one thing. He's 45.
Ah,
he's
indestructible.
He was 44 last year.
I know. And listen, I'm loving that you guys are saying that you want to take Tom Brady fifth and Tom Brady sixth. And he might
not take.
Hold on a second. You're going to rank him fifth, but you wouldn't make him your fifth.
I'm never taking a quarterback early. I mean, because I rank Josh Allen first, I have to take him first. No, I'm going to wait on quarterback.
Well, that's what I'm doing too. That's the whole point of this. Is that I think it's
the whole point of it is to tell people where they should be selecting them. The whole point is not where I'm drafting him.
Okay, well, but wait, let's clarify that.
So that's a better question then. What round are you willing to take Tom Brady in?
What round am I willing to take a quarterback in? Is not round one I'm willing to take Brady in, because if I'm willing to take Brady and I get him late, I'm going to take him late. But I'm not going to reach for a quarterback because I never do.
Yeah, I know. But
9, 10, 11.
Right.
Oh, Brady's going to go probably in round 4 or 5. I mean,
I don't want to be any part of that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, if he finishes as 1 or 2, which he's capable of, as he showed you last year, then you regret not taking him.
Yeah, I think if you go back to last year, right, we had Mahomes. I don't remember exactly what ADP was, but Mahomes like round 2, Allen early round 3, and then you had this group of quarterbacks, Kyler, Dak, Lamar Jackson. Who am I forgetting? I don't know that Brady was there. Like Brady and Herbert probably just after, but there was a run.
Brady was more like 100, like 80 to 100 overall, I want to say, especially in the draft we were doing. I think the way I look at it is like there are probably 3 quarterbacks who I think have a realistic chance of averaging 30 points per game. And that's Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen. We've basically seen all 3 of those guys do it before. I don't really think anyone else does. I think Kyler probably could because of his rushing ability, but that's probably it. Like for Brady to do it, you're probably talking about a 50 plus touchdown season and another 5,000 yards, which isn't out of the realm of possibility, but it's asking an awful lot. And so I think the way you probably want to look at it is like last year, Brady averaged 26.9 PPR points or points in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues. And he was about 3 points per game ahead of Jalen Hurts and Aaron Rodgers. So that's, at least if I'm looking at the right numbers. And so, you know, that's where it's like there's that big second/third tier at quarterback. And that's where he fits in. And so I think what we're probably all saying is like you'd rather pick from the back end of that group and maybe sacrifice 2 fantasy points per game in order to get better value.
Yeah. Right. Last year, people didn't buy it yet, right? People didn't see Brady as that. They weren't quite there. This year, they will be because he just went out and had this incredible season. But anyway, we like him. He's going to be anywhere from 5th to 8th in the rankings for these 3 guys. Let's talk about Amari Cooper. And by the way, we're going to have episode Monday afternoon. Usually, we record at 10 a.m. We're not going to do that. We're going to wait for the news to develop. So we're tentatively at 3 p.m. on Monday, with the same thing Tuesday and Wednesday as of now. It's kind of a fluid schedule, so make sure you're subscribing on YouTube. And just you know, be ready for a lot of episodes this week. And we're going to recap the day's events, and hopefully there'll be some really interesting stuff. There will be. I don't have to say hopefully. All right, let's talk about Amari Cooper here going to the Cleveland Browns, who actually, believe it or not, in Baker Mayfield's first season had 2,000-yard receivers. I had forgotten about that. Both Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham went over 1,000 yards. That was 3 seasons ago. But Amari Cooper is going to a much, much different offense than the team that led the league in scoring, 2nd in pass attempts. Kellen Moore is always throwing the ball. So anyway, Chris, I'll give you the first word. Give me a round you think that Amari Cooper will go in as of right now. Things are going to change a lot, I know, but as of right now, and a round you think Amari Cooper should go in a 12-team PPR league.
I want to say round 5 or 6 for both. I think is probably where he's going to end up. I don't think there's going to be much optimism surrounding him because I think a lot of people view him as a pretty frustrating player for, you know, not without good reason. He's been very inconsistent throughout his career. He's coming off a down season. And he's playing with a guy in Baker Mayfield who, rightly or wrongly, has a perception as being kind of a wide receiver killer. And so I don't think there's going to be very much excitement around him. I think it could be more like round six. I don't think anybody's going to push him. Maybe even like, I think he'll low end wide receiver two probably is the high end of the range where he'll go.
Is anybody excited about this?
Nope.
I'm not.
Baker Mayfield.
It's not, I mean, it's not the worst thing if he's just a total target hog there. Right,
which is what you have to hope.
It's a run first offense. It's a tight end friendly offense. You know, bringing back Njoku, I think, kind of tells you that they're still going to kind of keep a similar direction that they have been. Kevin Stefanski's offense really hasn't changed much, you know. So, Beckham flopped going to Cleveland for the most part. You know, I mean, he certainly had some moments, and who knows if he had stayed healthy, which is, you know, much more of a problem for him than it's been for Cooper. Cooper's an amazing talent, you know, and I don't think gets the credit he deserves. You know, you saw all the comments, or at least if you paid attention, saw the comments. Almost every receiver around the NFL was like, that's all this guy was worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a guy that's an amazing route runner and player and the production that he's put up. But it's more about Baker. It's more about Stefanski. It's more about the division that he's in now as well. So I don't have him as a starter. He's a number three receiver for me. He's barely in my top 30, you know, so somebody wants to take him in round five. Go ahead.
Okay. How about,
You know, you mentioned like a target hog. Jarvis Landry had a 26% target share last season. And obviously I think we think Amari Cooper's much better than Jarvis Landry, who will do more with those targets. But, you know, that was still right around seven targets per game. So even if, you know, they're going to have to throw more in order for Amari Cooper to be even in the 125 target range like that.
Yep.
Jarvis Landry wasn't close to the pace for that on a 26% target share.
But he had 100. He had 130. So they had two guys in 2019 that had 130 targets in Landry and Beckham. That is just, and they had almost every target. Nobody else had more than 50. So
it's possible that Cooper could. I think that's what you have to hope for if you settle on Amari Cooper on draft day. You have to hope that. I think you have to hope for he plays in the slot, like exclusively, and he does a lot of what Jarvis Landry did. I shouldn't say exclusively. I should say like 60% of the time, and he just soaks up targets and he comes through. And the ceiling for a guy like that in Cleveland, it's 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards, five touchdowns maybe.
And that wasn't Stefanski in 2019.
Right. No. I mean, it's right. So like in 2019, when Baker did what he did, no Stefanski. Last 2 years, the receivers haven't put up huge numbers. No receivers had more than six touchdowns in a season from Baker Mayfield. Very few have had over 1,000.
Who was the last one? I actually have this. The last time a Cleveland player had more than six receiving touchdowns.
I don't even.
Is it Josh Gordon?
That's what I thought. It was a little bit sooner than that. It was a fantasy one-hit wonder. And it was not a wide receiver.
Oh,
Jordan Cameron.
Gary Barnidge.
Yeah.
Gary Barnidge.
2015, nine touchdown catches. The last time a Cleveland Brown had more than six touchdown catches. All right, you guys want to talk about Michael Gallup? Can I take Michael? Let's say Michael Gallup's healthy for week one. Can I take him over Amari Cooper?
You might be smart in doing so, but I don't think anybody's going to do that. You know, I mean, look, Gallup's in a good spot. And the production might be similar, so you probably just wait that out and you take Gallup. But, you know, clearly the Cowboys told you what they think. You know, contract matters, but the fact that they let him walk or essentially leave for such minimal return, again, somebody had to take Cooper's contract, so factor that in. But, you know, getting back such minimal compensation and then turning around and signing Gallup, who's coming off of an ACL tear, you know, they obviously feel pretty good about that situation that they have there. So, if you tell me that I can get Gallup two or three rounds later, I'll take Gallup two or three rounds later. And it might be more than that.
I think people are going to have to figure out how they feel about ACL tears, right? With Godwin, with Gallup.
I think people are going to pay attention to the news with these guys leading up to the
Robert
draft.
Woods too.
But at least Robert Woods didn't tear his ACL, around or after Christmas. Right.
Yeah. Anybody have strong takes on Michael Gallup? I do think people are gonna be kind of down on him, but there's obviously huge opportunity here for a team that throws as much as just about any team in football.
So that's the weird thing, though, is they do throw the ball a ton, but they spread it around a ton, too. Amari Cooper is leaving a 19% target share behind. So it's not like, you know, he had this huge role. CeeDee Lamb had a 21% target share to lead the team, and Michael Gallup was at 17%. So, you know, he was on a 850-yard pace. I think you could see a scenario where he's really good in the red zone and has close to 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns and is like a useful wide receiver 3 with weekly upside. But I don't think he's someone that I'm going to be targeting as a starter.
And that's if he plays 17 games.
Yeah, right.
He could even play. He might be able to get that in 15 games. Just the nature of the Dallas offense, the role that he could have as an outside.
Think about
receiver.
That week one game last year.
Exactly.
Seven targets in the first half.
Right. So he was well on his way. So he could absolutely do that for them. But if he's not ready to go and he starts the year on the PUP list, then I don't have a problem with someone taking him back half of the draft. You're going to take him. You're immediately going to stash him after the draft, and you're going to go hit your waiver wire to take somebody else. But I do have a problem with people who don't have those PUP IR spots spending anything before round 10 on Michael Gallup at this point. So it's a late pick, and if you got to sit on him for 6 weeks plus, I don't like doing that. I think you can find a player that will have a chance to break out before then. And then people listen, hopefully he's fine and he's good to go and doesn't do what Michael Thomas just did to us a year ago.
It's a great offense. I just don't know how great of a fantasy offense it is. You know, the last three seasons we've had one good season from Gallup, a good season from Lamb last year. Cooper was
one of those was without.
Yeah, I don't count 2020.
Sure. But even then, you know, they were on pace for 700 pass attempts, but even then the way they spread the ball around, it's really hard for one guy to get. I don't think anybody's had more than 130 targets in the past in the Kellen Moore era.
Let me give you one stat, and this isn't necessarily about Gallup, but let me tell you when I can find it. Okay. In Amari Cooper's first 29 games with the Cowboys before Prescott got hurt in 2020. Okay, so that was the end of the second half of 2018, all of 2019, and the first four games of 2020. He was on pace for 144 targets in 17 games, 1,357 yards, 9 touchdowns, 99 catches, basically the best stretch of his career. So I think what you could take from that is it wasn't as nearly as crowded of a receiving core as it was in 2021 when he had to compete with Lamb and Gallup for you know half the season with Gallup and Dalton Schultz emerging. So I think that was really the only time recently that we've seen one guy get featured. Amari Cooper was kind of an alpha receiver before the Prescott injury and before the emergence of CeeDee Lamb.
Well, I think they're thinking Lamb is that guy now.
I hope so. Yeah, but I think as I said, it's not necessarily relevant for Gallup, but it just was different than what we saw last year where they did spread the ball around. But okay. All right. So, you know, I guess my last question on that is when you look at the contract, 5 years, $62.5 million for a guy who just tore his ACL, maybe the Cowboys know something we don't. Jamie, do you think they're higher on Michael Gallup than fantasy might be, and maybe we need to pay attention to that? I mean, how do you
absolutely that's what I was saying. You know, the Cowboys kind of told you how they felt that they took us little in return for Amari Cooper. Part of it was shipping the contract out the door, you know, because you know, finding a taker for that is not necessarily easy. But this receiver market might get nuts in the next 48 hours, you know, with even who the guys are available. You know, we're talking about Christian Kirk getting $15 million a year, you know, that Robinson's gonna get, you know, so. And then, you know, the dominoes will start to fall because when you lose Devontae Adams, you lose Chris Godwin, you know, the two top guys and then Cooper becomes available. You know, we'll see if Landry's market, whatever that is, if the Browns are going to shop him, you know, so all these moves have domino effects, you know, so Brady coming back, you know, to tie that in is now going to set the market for what Deshaun Watson is probably going to command. If in fact, you know, a team is going to go to what the potential return that the Texans are seeking, you know, 3 first round picks and a couple of young players that are on their rookie deals. You know, and now the Cooper trade is going to set the market as well for what this is. Gallup getting that deal, you know, is going to change some things as well. So It's going to get a little nutty here, but I think, you know, in terms of, you know, just the Cowboys, they clearly prioritized two players over Amari Cooper, and that was Dalton Schultz and Michael Gallup. You know, put in the tag on Schultz, we kind of, you know, saw this coming when we heard the Cooper, you know, news, or Cooper rumors, excuse me, that they were going to try and get rid of him. And so Schultz is a huge winner in this, without a doubt. Lamb is a huge winner in this, without a doubt. But Michael Gallup's not somebody that you should sleep on by any stretch. And if he is ready come week one, there is immense breakout potential.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break on fantasy football today, wrap it up with some Zach Ertz talk after this.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Welcome back to our bonus podcast here. Zach Ertz, number 5 in full PPR, number 10 in non-PPR with Arizona. Played 11 games. He was number 7 in non-PPR and number 5 in full PPR. His 17-game pace in those 11 games was 56 catches. Nope, it was 87 catches. Sorry, 56 is what he actually had. 87 catches, 887 yards, 5 touchdowns on 125 targets. That was his 17-game pace in 11 games with the Cardinals. Not a lot of DeAndre Hopkins in that stretch. Right. All right, so Dave, what do you think about Ertz? Is he a top 12 tight end for you?
He is going to be a top 12 tight end for me. I don't have him re-ranked yet based on this news, but I figured that it was not a best-case scenario for him to stay in Arizona. I think there were other spots he could have gone to where I think he could have done even better, but he'll be okay. Someone that you can target back half of drafts. When you need a tight end, you got to start a tight end. His target rate was 14% in the two games where DeAndre Hopkins played. Hopkins was at 23% in 7 games without Hopkins. And with any Cardinals quarterback, doesn't matter whether it was Kyler or somebody else, he had a 22% target share. My guess is that he's going to be closer to 14% of the target share with Hopkins there, with another receiver coming there, and with Rondale Moore getting a step up in looks too. Still could be a good touchdown target at tight end, and I would expect him to contend for in the neighborhood of 7 or 8 touchdowns this year, but not somebody that I would prioritize on draft day. For example, Dalton Schultz, way ahead of him. Oh, yeah. Dallas Goedert, ahead of him. Rob Gronkowski, banking on him being back in Tampa Bay, way ahead of him.
He caught 3 touchdowns in 11 games with the Cardinals, and 2 of them were from Colt McCoy against Seattle with, again, no DeAndre Hopkins. I haven't taken a look at the green zone, red zone, end zone targets in that stretch, but that is something worth noting. Who is in the range of Zach Ertz, Jamie? Who are we comparing him to?
Oh, Dave mentioned it. You know, it's I love this move for Zach Ertz. I love this move for the Cardinals because I do think, you know, you look at what their opportunities are to, you know, to acquire players, and they prioritized him last year. And I think, you know, you heard some of this throughout the season that, you know, bringing him back was important. And Ertz, you know, said that there were some things he was looking for in free agency, continuity with quarterback, climate, money, you know, all these things kind of, I think, fell in place for him. So I think, you know, Christian Kirk seems like he's out the door. You know, Dave mentioned who's coming, you know, in there. Clearly that's something we have to wait and see, but if it's AJ Green and Rondale Moore, I think Zach Ertz is in a good spot. You know, we don't know the health of DeAndre Hopkins. You know, this is a guy that had, you know, surgery that was supposed to potentially be back if they made the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. Where's his health at, you know, and is he at the point in his career now where injuries are going to start to become a problem? Cause it's the first time that he's actually had to miss significant time, but it's, you know, he missed 2 separate times last season. So I think Ertz is a guy that Kyler can rely on and can make some plays for him. He's better in PPR than non-PPR. You mentioned the 3 touchdowns. So in PPR, he might be better than Gronk. Non-PPR, Gronk is probably going to be significantly better if he could stay healthy. But he's in that group. He's a top 10 tight end. It's just a matter of, you know, I think what format you're looking at, half, full, and non-PPR. But I think, you know, if you miss on the, you know, top five guys, you know, with Kelce, Andrews, Pitts, Waller, and Kittle, however you rank them, I think you put, you know, probably, at least I'll speak for myself, I put Dalton Schultz and TJ Hockenson next, Goddard in that group as well, and then he's in that next group with Gronk, filling out the top 10.
Okay. And Chris, anything to add?
I'd much rather have Gronk if he's back. I think he's more in the, like, Noah Fant, Albert O, Mike Gesicki, Cole Kmet kind of range, where he's probably a little safer than any of those guys, but I don't think there's going to be very much about Zach Ertz that's exciting. You're kind of hoping for five catches and 45 yards per game, I think is where you go, and you're just hoping that it's relatively consistent. He's probably not going to have many, you know, 80 plus yard games, and you know, the touchdowns weren't there last season. That's the concerning thing, because if he's going to be someone who is more than just a streaming quality tight end, I think he'll probably need to get into that 7 or 8 touchdown range. And I have very, very little reason to be excited about him. I think I'd rather take the chance on Albert O, although I would expect he'll end up going a lot higher than him as well. So, you know, maybe it's you're taking Zach Ertz or Dawson Knox or something like that, or Cole Kmet.
You think Albert O is going ahead of Ertz, or Ertz is going ahead of O?
Oh, I think Albert O is going to go way ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think people are going to be too excited about him. He's a fourth option for Wilson. They've really been very few good tight ends with Wilson. You're excited about him, about Albert O?
Oh, I don't know if I'm excited about him yet, but I think people will be. I think he's going to be drafted as a top 12 tight end.
Only Dynasty, I think you're going to see that happen.
Okay.
I don't think any redraft leagues would.
Oh, I could see him being the 11th or 12th tight end off the board, but I think Ertz will go ahead. I think Ertz is, he's that tight end that the bridge. He's the bridge guy between those top 9 tight ends, and then the Albert O's, the Noah Fants, the Pat Freiermuth, the Dawson Knoxes of the world. And I'll tell you what, I think Knox could jump him if it ends up being that Buffalo doesn't make any splash additions in their offense. Seems like Knox could be a guy that starts to get more targets next year.
In non-PPR, yeah. But I don't think in PPR. He's not catching as many passes as Zach Ertz.
Yeah, but he's going to score more touchdowns.
Maybe.
When you say the bridge, I mean, maybe Zach Ertz is the last tight end that you feel comfortable with as a week one starter, the last one drafted.
No, you'll feel comfortable starting some other guys, but those are like the streaming guys. I think you'll look at Ertz as like a little bit better than a streamer.
Okay.
But not quite as good of a, you know, rock solid type of tight end.
It sounds like it depends on who they bring. Because if they don't bring anybody else in and it's Rondale Moore and, you know, a few other guys, he's gonna be in a really good spot.
What if their run game doesn't get
I mean that's the thing about that Arizona right now just has so many questions that they still need to answer this offseason that it's kind of hard to know what it's gonna look like.
They answered one. You know, again, you got to look at what these teams are prioritizing.
Sorry, you know, I was really just prolonging this conversation so I could look up how many red zone targets he had with the Cardinals. He actually had 14, which ranked 10th in that stretch, tied with Mark Andrews, tied with DK Metcalf. How about goal to go? Anybody care about this?
No DeAndre Hopkins. You have to assume a decent chunk of those probably would have gone to DeAndre Hopkins had he played more than, what, 2 of the 11 games?
Oh, how about this? Goal to go. And yes, you're right, Chris, but he had the fourth most. Zach Ertz had the fourth most goal to go targets in that time period, weeks 7 through 18. That's pretty interesting. Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp. Actually, Cooper Kupp tied with Zach Ertz. It is many goal to go targets.
And he also did this did nothing on the fly. Them. No offseason, no training camp, everything being thrown at him.
Yeah. Also, that all does serve as a reminder of how gross the Cardinals' offense was for much of that stretch.
Yeah, it was a struggle. That's pretty interesting, though. So you look at the touchdowns, they were low. Kind of like Mike Williams, actually, who we just talked about. Mike Williams had a ton of targets inside the 10-yard line and a very low touchdown rate. Same thing for Zach Ertz when he was with the Cardinals.
Yeah, buying on Mike Williams now.
It depends. I mean, some people love him. I think that he's going to... Anyway, I'll get your thoughts on that. I'll get your thoughts on that on Monday. We'll recap everything. Monday's going to be an exciting day, so stay tuned. Remember, join our bracket challenge. Winner is in the podcast league. CBS.
How much does that cost, Adam? How much does that cost to join?
Free 99, as Chip Patterson would say, our colleague.
Yeah.
Free 99. I'm sure a lot of people say that.
It means
first
it's nothing.
It means nothing.
Don't let the 99 throw you off.
if you want our opinion, I think Miami's going to beat USC. I think if you're looking for a 10-7 upset, I think Miami's going to beat
an unbiased USC. Opinion, I'm going to say Hurricane 75, USC 23.
Ditka 76. We are out of here, everybody. Thanks for listening. And CBSSports.com/FFT brackets. Join that right now. We will talk to you on Monday or Sunday night, who knows, with another episode of Fantasy Football Today. And I'm hitting the wrong button with another episode of Fantasy Football Today.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.